What's up, everybody? Chris Fafalius here. Every once in a while, we like to throw out a little sneak preview of the After Party podcast for anyone who might be on the fence about joining our supporting cast. The After Party is our weekly bonus episode for anyone who signs up at ChrisDemakes.com. And at this point, we have a back catalog of fun episodes like the one you're about to hear that's about 150 episodes deep. You'll get instant access to all of these episodes the second you sign up. And of course, Chris and I would appreciate it because we depend on your support to keep Chris to Makes a Podcast up and running. So the episode you're about to hear was released back on October 31st of 2022, and it's all about songs throughout the years that were number one on the Billboard charts on Halloween Day. We had a lot of fun looking back at all these memorable jams, and I hope that you'll have just as much fun listening to it. So here you go, the After Party episode titled Halloween Number One Hits.
Welcome to the After Party.
Well, hey everyone, welcome to the After Party, and happy Halloween to each and every one of you. And Chris and I thought that we would go back in time and look at some number one hits that fell on Halloween. And Chris, do you think there's going to be any spooky Halloween theme songs in here?
That's a good question, and we're going to see. I think we can kind of convince ourselves that some of these are Halloween, at least adjacent type songs. Some of them are obvious, but some of them, I put asterisks next to them on the list, the ones that I could talk myself into them being kind of a Halloween jam.
Are some of them so bad they're scary? Is that what you're saying?
No, actually, I think Halloween's a pretty good time for number one hits,
cool,
as we'll see.
All right.
So to start off, I went all the way back to 1956 when—
Whoa.
Elvis Presley had the number one song with Don't Be Cruel.
Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love. Baby, it's just you I'm thinking of. Don't stop.
And can we talk ourselves into Don't Be Cruel being a Halloween song?
Back then, maybe, because Elvis was kind of, he was this crazy sex symbol that a lot of parents didn't like. So I guess he was scary to some people. But yeah, kind of Halloweenish, but not really. But wow, what a great song, though.
He was scary to conservative parents, seeing him gyrate his hips.
There you go.
And also, you know, ghosts and monsters, they can be cruel. So that's how I convinced myself this is a borderline Halloween song. And the same thing with a year later, Chris, 1957 is also Elvis Presley with Jailhouse Rock. And I think a jailhouse can be a scary place.
Crash, boom, bang. The whole rhythm section was a purple gang. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody knows they were gone. We'll dance to the Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah, he would have been like really hard to knock out of the first couple positions, right? He was the Michael Jackson then. It was like,
yeah, he was killing it then. But I could convince myself that those are okay Halloween songs. We're going to skip ahead a few years. In 1960, couldn't really figure out a way to make this one a Halloween song. But the Drifters had the number one song with Save the Last Dance for Me.
But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know?
I know how.
How?
It could be if someone is saying, save your last dance of your life for me.
Ah, there you go. Okay. You know? A bit of a stretch, but we'll take it. We'll take it.
A year later, in 1961, Dion had the number one hit. That's D-I-O-N. Do you know what song that would be, Chris?
Dion. Was that just Dion or was it Dion and the Belmonts?
It was just Dion.
Just Dion. And this was
61.
Probably something with the word baby in the title.
Close. It's something with the word Sue in the title.
Oh, Peggy Sue.
No.
No, wait, that was Buddy Holly.
Run around.
Sue. Ah, Runaround Sue. Gosh, jeez.
Keep away
from a run around Sue. Yeah, my miss lips and a smile on her face.
Run Around Sue, I do not think is a Halloween song. But a year later, Chris, here we go. Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers had the number one song in the country with the Monster Mash.
Electro. They did the mash. They did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash. The zombies were heavy.
That's awesome. And I was just going to say, wouldn't you think, especially back then, you know, that labels would have, you know, had a Halloween themed song to send to radio around that time?
Dude, I say this every year. There is a real lack of Halloween songs out there. There's a billion Christmas songs, but a real lack of Halloween songs.
Yeah, I guess every death metal band could kind of be a Halloween song, but I know what you're speaking of. You're speaking like a Halloween theme, like the present day version of the Monster Mash.
Right. You walk into the Spirit Halloween store or whatever the Halloween store is, you're going to hear Monster Mash if you're there for five songs over the loudspeaker. It's just such a lack of them.
You know, and I'm wondering now that I think about it, I think it was in the summer. I was a summer blockbuster. I'm wondering if Ghostbusters was around Halloween. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I will tell you right now, it was not Ghostbusters was not a number one song. It may have been a number one movie. It was not a number one song. Or actually, why am I saying that? I don't know if that movie came out around Halloween.
I think it was in the summer, but we'll see.
Okay. In 1964, the Supremes had the number one song on Halloween with Baby Love.
Yeah, I don't think that's Halloween themed.
Great song. Has nothing
Great
to do
song.
With Halloween.
No.
A year later, in 1965, one of my favorite songs ever, The Beatles' Yesterday.
Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know.
Not very Halloween-y, but, you know, very kind of melancholy, you know, I guess. We're not going to put that in the column of Halloween songs. But a year later, in 1966, now we had Question Mark and the Mysterians with their one hit, 96 Tears.
Wow. Do I even know that song? I don't know the band name.
You know what, Chris? Our listeners are going to listen to this right now. They're going to hear it. But I want you to listen to it right now because you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that song.
We'll be together for just a little while. And then I'm going to put you way down here.
Of course I know that song. It's like straight out of like the Munsters theme.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That song is that song is borderline Halloween sounding. And their singer's name was Question Mark. Like it's pretty Halloween-y.
I'm gonna say that's a Halloween song, but there's something creepy about that organ.
Yeah. Yeah, it is that definite Munsters Addams Family type thing that you would hear, you know, that keyboard sound. So yeah. A year later, 1967. Lulu had the number one song in the country with To Sir With Love.
Lulu.
Yeah. Do you know that song, To Sir With Love?
No. And why am I blanking on this too?
If you wanted the sky, I would ride across the sky in letters that would soar 1,000 feet high. To Sir.
You don't know that one?
I don't, but wow. Man, you were... That was some impressive crooning, Chris. That was great.
Thanks.
How do I not know that? So I've never heard of Lulu.
Oh, it was a really big song. It was a I Love My Dad song. It's like a song that would play when a daughter was getting married, when she like danced with her dad, you know?
Definitely not Halloween, though.
No, definitely not. A year later, in 1968, the Beatles had the number one hit yet again with Hey Jude.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so we got Elvis tied at two and the Beatles at two. We should figure out who has the most Halloween hits here at the end.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good to know. Not a Halloween track, but what a song, though.
I can't even convince myself in any way possible it's a Halloween song. But yeah, of course, it's a great song. In 1969, 1 year later, the Temptations had the number one hit with I Can't Get Next to You.
Life is incomplete and I'm so blue, 'cause I can't get next to you.
Can't get next to you, babe.
Next to you.
I can't get next to you.
I just can't get next,
can't
to,
get
you.
Next to you, babe.
I can't get next to you because your dress is a werewolf.
I can't get next to you because you're dead.
There you go.
Or something. But no.
I can't stand the smell of your rotting corpse.
Yes, yes. That's a real stretch on that one. A year later, in 1970, the Jackson 5 had the number one hit with I'll Be There. And I can't think of a less Halloween song than I'll Be There.
Just call my name.
In 1971, Rod Stewart had the number one hit with Maggie May.
Old Rod.
Old Rod.
Old Rod. I can't figure out how we would fit that into the Halloween frame, but great. Again, great song.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of good songs, right? There's a lot of great songs around this time of year.
I'm really surprised so far because, again, I said there might be some songs that are scary by nature.
I mean, the only one that's a blatant Halloween song so far is the Monster Mash.
Now, but real quick, let's go back. So you wouldn't release the Monster Mash in April or
right.
in June, right? Like
right.
that had to be calculated, or no?
Of course. Of course.
And if so, why isn't there more? I mean, why hasn't a band like AFI done a straight up Halloween song? And if they have, they have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure. I'll play a clip. Or no, they did. Well, okay. I take that back. They covered Halloween.
With a couple of
Misfits, yeah, but I'm talking about like an original song that their record label goes to radio. Like, we're going to release this at Halloween. Like, I could see Ghost doing that or the Misfits doing that.
Right. You're preaching to the choir here, man. I can't believe people aren't doing this. I mean,
yeah.
You're really missing out on an opportunity. People love the spooky season of the year. Okay, we're skipping ahead 2 years to 1973. Gladys Knight and the Pips had the number one song with Midnight Train to Georgia.
He's leaving.
Leaving.
On that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Mm. Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back
to a simpler place and time.
Absolutely amazing song. And I'm going to say, why not? Midnight. It has midnight in the title.
I knew you were going to say that. And we'll give it to Gladys on this one. She falls in the Halloween category.
We're going to skip ahead 9 years now, Chris. We're going to go all the way to 1982. And I think this one kind of has a Halloween vibe. It's Men at Work with Who Can It Be Now? I just feel like it has like a mysterious vibe. Who can it be now? And like that saxophone. I feel like there's like a minor feel to it. If that came on at a Halloween party, I'd be like, yeah, this fits. This fits the mood.
Okay. I could give that it's haunting-esque. I'll give that one to you.
Yeah. Love that song. 2 years later in 1984, Stevie Wonder with I Just Called to Say I Love You.
There is nothing Halloween about that. And go ahead. You're going to say something.
I was going to say something. I want to interrupt you real quick. You say that, but think about the verses of this song. You know what he does in the verses of this song? He names every holiday. So he does mention something about Halloween in this song.
no Libra sun, no Halloween, no giving thanks to all the Christmas joy you bring.
Yeah, he talks about the month of May, New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of, sort of. We're going to give Stevie one here. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah. Right. Well,
that was his.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that was his number one hit of all time. I didn't know that. I know that song was. I know that song was massive. But think of his '70s output.
I know.
You know, Songs in the Key of Life and some of that Superstition and those songs. But yeah, that was his number. I read that the other day, and I actually researched it, and it's true. Number one.
Do you think maybe it's because that was his first big hit in the era of MTV, and things just got that much bigger?
Absolutely. I really do. You know, I think that right place, right time. Definitely MTV propelled that. That song was everywhere. It was the biggest song of one of the biggest songs of 84.
Yeah, and definitely one of my favorite Halloween songs. We're going to skip ahead two more years to 1986 when Cyndi Lauper had the number one hit with True Colors.
Yep. Because you know I'll be there and I'll see your true colors shining through. I'll see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let us show your true colors. Your true colors are beautiful like a rainbow.
Maybe if it was called Fall Colors, could maybe give it to her, but you know, what a cool song, right?
Yeah.
Think about where she came from with the record before.
Right.
You know, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I mean, yeah, Time After Time was on there. It was a slower ballad, but True Colors is a completely different flavor. I always admired that about her.
Yeah, it's an amazing song, and I can't really say it's a Halloween song, but I would say that some of Cyndi Lauper's 80s looks definitely lent themselves to a good Halloween costume. I bet you there were a lot of Cyndi Laupers for Halloween in the 80s.
Oh, I saw it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, a year later, speaking of good Halloween costumes in the 80s, Michael Jackson had the number one song on Halloween. No, it was not for Thriller. Never was Thriller the number one song on Halloween Day. But
was this bad?
Yes, it was.
Should have been Thriller. And no, you just said Thriller wasn't released around Halloween.
No, never was number one on Halloween Day, which is surprising.
Which, what a see, that's the kind of song I was talking about, that a label would get behind and release it to radio right at Halloween, go through the roof. But I guess it didn't matter. The song went through the roof anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't matter. It's still huge, but not ever on Halloween Day. This is going on the day of Halloween. What was the number one song? There was no Thriller on there, which I was surprised, but Bad was on there. And I don't know, bad Halloween kind of goes together. I don't know, but I have one for you now, Chris. 3 years later, 1990, speaking of Michael, we're going to go to who I like even more, his sister, Janet. And this is absolutely a song that relates to Halloween. I'm talking about Black Cat, baby.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's definitely, you know, Black Cats are symbolic for Halloween, so we got to give it up to Janet for sure.
Absolutely, and I love Janet, and I love Black Cats. Black Cats notoriously get a bad rap, and I guess they get adopted a lot less at shelters and stuff, which I think is bullshit, because Black Cats are so awesome, and people have these dumb superstitions about them. I think they're good luck.
We actually talked about that song not too long ago on the main feed, because of Michael Wagner mixed Black Cat.
Right, that's right. Yep, pretty awesome. Hey, everybody, we got to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, but we'll be right back with this sneak preview episode of The After Party.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip podcast.
And now, back to the after party. 2 years later, in 1992... You know I've talked about them, Chris, because they seem to be my go-to when I say, I wasn't into 80s metal because I was listening to...
Hip-hop. R&B.
Yeah. And as a young kid in R&B, who would I be listening to? I always say them.
92 would have been Bobby Brown?
Yeah, no. Boys to Men is my go-to. When you're listening to Motley Crue, I'm listening to Boys to Men. It's always my go-to. And their number one hit in 1992... which I think is their, I think it's their best song, End of the Road.
End of the Road's a great tune. It's awesome. The only way that could be classified as Halloween if the end of the road is when you're dead.
Yeah. But,
yeah. That's a stretch.
a dead end. The last house on the left at the dead end. Yeah, but I thought that's how I thought of it too, man. End of the road could be end of your life.
I gotta tell you, man, I remember being in college at UF in Gainesville. Driving down the road, that song would come on and I would crank it up. Like, yeah. I was into punk rock, I was in metal, but like those guys could sing like nobody else. And this was before computers were fixing stuff. It was just pitch perfect. What a great band.
Absolutely. One of my favorites. One of the groups that shaped my taste in music and probably I know they're an R&B singing group, but really shaped my love of pop music from the first time I heard Motown Philly, really shaped my taste, I think. We're going to skip ahead a few years to 1995 when Mariah Carey had the number one hit on Halloween with Fantasy.
Scary Halloween? I don't know. I know the song. I'm kind of indifferent. I like a lot of Mariah Carey songs. That wasn't one of my favorites though.
Yeah, I like Fantasy. I like I like the doos in it. And
what was the song she was doing the whale calls in?
A lot of them. But I know
I can't even do it.
I think that is actually one of her early hits, Emotions. I can't go there.
You did it way better than I did though.
I couldn't get to that top whale call, but is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, and if there was some way we could see exactly when the listeners are turning this episode off, everyone would have went off right then.
Right. But Fantasy, I don't know. Halloween time, you're dressing up as a character. It's a little bit of a fantasy, right?
Yeah. I think the only thing Halloween about this episode is mine and yours falsetto.
Yeah, I can't get there. 4 years later in 1999. Now, this one is a funny one because kind of the sound of this song, I don't know, once again, has a little bit of a Halloween vibe to me. It was Santana featuring Rob Thomas with Smooth.
It's just like the ocean under the moon. It's the same as the emotion that I get from you. You got the kind of loving that can be so smooth. Yeah, give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it.
Know the song well. I'm not getting Halloween vibes.
No.
But you know what?
That lead a little bit. That Santana lead doesn't give you a little bit of like Halloween vibes.
You know, I'm a team player. Leave no man behind. I got to pick up my boy here. So yeah, I'm gonna go Halloween with you.
Okay. Yeah, Smooth is one of my favorite Halloween songs.
And Santana always wore a black hat. So
yeah, there you go. There you go. Black hat. We're gonna skip ahead 12 years now. We're skipping the whole aughts, as they call them. We're gonna go all the way to 2011. When Adele had the number one song with Someone Like You. And I only make note of this one because Dan Wilson co-wrote this song and we recently had him as a guest.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you say. Sometimes it lasts in love.
Massive. Massive song. It's amazing. I love that. I love that Dan, you know, 20 years, well, not, was it 20 years? Let's think here. About 13, 14 years after he wrote Closing Time, he co-writes arguably the biggest song of his career, probably even bigger than Closing Time.
Oh, yeah. It's way bigger. Yeah. It's way bigger. Yeah.
No, I know. Just in the UK alone, that song's so massive. So good for him. Not going to go Halloween here, though, Chris.
Yeah, it's not very Halloween. 2 years later, I feel like we've been talking about her so much on the After Party, but in 2013, the number one song was Royals by Lorde.
We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
On Halloween, because we did talk about that song recently, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because it was in the charts. We did one of those charts episodes. But, you know, I kind of feel like this song, once again, not anything about the subject matter, but I do feel like there's a Halloween vibe to it a little bit. Like, there's a little bit of a spooky feel to it.
Yeah, like the real high Royals part. I'll kind of give you that. No man left behind.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can disagree. Some of these are a stretch. I'm just trying to see how they match the time of year. Hey, I only got two left, and they are from more recent years. We're going to 2015 now, when The Weeknd had the number one song with The Hills. And I'm going to go ahead and guess, Chris, that you don't know what song that is.
I don't. I have a rule, and I'm sorry. If we ever have one of these bands on the show, I'm going to have to eat crow with this, Chris. But I don't like the upside down letters in the band's names. I can't get behind it. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm definitely showing my age.
Well, The Weeknd's so big that he's done like the Super Bowl halftime show. Dude, you know, the first time I saw The Weeknd play, me and my buddy Johnny went and saw him play at Mr. Smalls. Like last minute, we're like, oh, let's go see The Weeknd play at Mr. Smalls. And then it was like, you know, 8 or 9 years later, he's doing the Super Bowl halftime show. Like, what a come up. But dude, this.
No, and hey, for the record, though, I'm not a Weeknd hater. That was more of a joke. But no, I'm sure I know the song, but I can't get it in my head. Maybe you can hum a few bars for us.
Yeah, this song was hard to avoid, Chris. This is a song that goes,
I only call you when it's high.
That's the real me when I'm fucked up. That's the real me, yeah. You know that song?
I don't, but I'm going to take this vocal track you just did. I'm going to put a beat behind it.
I could have done that better.
How don't I know the song if it was that big? Jeez, I was living under a rock.
Yeah, you live under that rock.
See, I know. I'm not living under the rock anymore, though, man. This show has brought me into the forefront. I'm rediscovering all the new sounds, but no, I don't know that song.
Dude, it's funny. I got to say this real quick. We recently did the episode about 2014, and we did like, you know, a bunch of the songs that were popular in 2014 that I went to the Facebook group and I posted all 100 of the top 100 songs and had people vote. And there were so many comments like, this is a horrible list of songs. 2014, I will say, was a rough year. I loved Paramore, Ain't It Fun, but other than that, it was a bad year for music. And then the last one I have left, Chris, I hope you weren't too far under your rock in 2019 to know the song that was number one on Halloween, which was Truth Hurts by Lizzo. Do you know that one?
Truth Hurts. You're going to have to sing a few bars, Chris.
You know that one?
No.
Oh, man. You missed out on Truth Hurts. Truth Hurts was like a phenomenon of a song.
Lizzo. Lizzo. L-I-Z-Z-O.
You don't know who Lizzo okay. is? She's in the news. As we're recording this, she's in the news because she's like an awesome pop performer, but she got to play James Madison's flute. Like at like this historic 200-year-old flute, she got to play it, and it was like a big news story this week. Some people were mad about it or whatever, but she's an amazing flute player, and I mean, I guess that would be a flutist.
Yeah, well, I'm not angry about it, but why would she be bestowed the honor of playing James Madison's flute?
Because she's a super famous artist who's amazing at flute. Name, Chris, I dare you. Name one other famous flutist.
I want to say his name was Ian from Jethro Tull.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be maybe the only one, and that's a stretch.
Right, so. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just, I guess no one, I don't know if no one has played it, but she played it amazing. There's all these videos of her playing it, and yeah, she had the honor of playing that flute.
Do you think that her song from 2019 is Halloween themed?
No, other than the fact that I'm sure every Halloween party of 2019 was like, that song, this, I don't mean anything by this, but I loved that song when it came out. I'm like, oh my God, this song's amazing. The beat is amazing. When the beat drops in that song, you're like, whoa, this song's incredible. But it got so annoying so fast when you'd go out to a bar and then there'd be like a group of drunk girls singing every word of it. And you're like, ah, it kind of took it down a notch for me. But Chris, that's all I got. I mean, other than Bobby Boris and maybe who can it be now? And maybe question mark in the Mysterians, Black Cat. We got to give Black Cat a little bit of credit.
Yes, yes. Wasn't as many as I thought. Again, I figured that there'd be more songs Halloween themed released around that time. And for the listeners listening to this, let us know in the Facebook group. Let us know what songs you think could have been released around Halloween. Maybe songs that are obvious to you that Chris and I missed or something. And I got a couple more Halloween things here, Chris, before we wrap up. So, do you remember your first Halloween costume?
Oh, the oldest one I can remember. Probably be Darth Vader. I was Darth Vader when I was little, yeah.
My mom sent me to school dressed as a clown. And like, and I know I had earlier Halloween costumes, but I got made fun of by the older kids. And I remember crying my eyes out. I never wanted to dress up for Halloween again, but I got over it. I went as Frankenstein one year, and my mom, you remember Lincoln Logs?
Of course, I had mad Lincoln Logs.
The shortest Lincoln Logs were about an inch a piece, and we didn't have any bolts for my neck, so my mom had taken tin foil around Lincoln Logs and stuck them on my neck with duct tape, and that kind of would have worked if, you know, I was from Minneapolis and it was cold outside, but in Florida in October, didn't work so well. I made it about three blocks and the bolts fell off. But yeah.
You sweat your Lincoln Logs off. That should be your new saying, man. Man, I'm sweating my Lincoln Logs off up here. And Chris, you know what I say? I say fuck Legos. I was all Lincoln Logs.
Me too.
And there were these things called Constructs that were like gray with like blue connectors. Constructs and Lincoln Logs all the way.
What's one of your most recent Halloween costumes that you thought was great, if any?
Dude, I was Prince maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. I had an amazing Prince. I'm going to send you a picture of it. I had a Prince costume that I won best costume at my own Halloween party. And
how do you win best costume at your own party?
I know. And I didn't give myself the award because I'm like, oh, everyone voted for me for best male costume. But what's really funny about that is that we showed my girlfriend's kid, who's 9, we showed him that picture and said, that was when Chris had hair. and he's like, wow. He's like, you know, like really believe that's what my hair was. I had very long Prince. It was like long, curly Prince hair, you know. It wasn't before he had the short hair. But yes, I was. That was a recent good one.
Nice. Yeah. Well, my most recent one, it was, gosh, it's going back like 10 years now, but I was Richard Gene Simmons, and dressed as, and many of you have probably seen the picture. If you got my book Blast from the Past, it was in there. And yeah, I was dressed as Richard Simmons in the outfit, like an exercise outfit, but I had Gene Simmons face paint on. And that was one of my most favorite recent Halloween costumes. And it went over kind of, didn't go over as good as I thought it was going to go. I did it at the fest in Gainesville, and about half the crowd laughed, and the other half looked at me like, what are you doing?
Right. Nice. Well, man, this has been fun. I think Halloween is the best holiday, so I'm glad that we're able to celebrate it by doing a podcast.
Absolutely, and special shout out to my bass player in Less Than Jake, Roger Lima. Happy birthday. He's a Halloween baby.
Nice. Hey everyone, hope you all enjoyed that look back on all those Halloween Day hits. Don't forget, ChrisDemakes.com is where you can go to sign up for our supporting cast. For the cost of buying Chris and I a small gourd or a couple of Reese's Cups, you can help keep the lights on over here at Chris DeMakes a Podcast and get a weekly bonus episode like the one you just heard, plus that giant back catalog. That's a lot of entertainment for some pocket change. Have a great Halloween weekend, everybody, and we'll be back Monday with a new episode.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11. Oh.